Thank you for listening to the Shanghai Community Fellowship Podcast. To find out more about the SCF community, listen to sermons, and upcoming events, visit us at shanghaifellowship.org.
All right. Well, welcome, everybody. This is actually week number 4 in the Lent series, Walking in the Spirit. And we are still in the Lent season. I know, especially for those of us living here in Shanghai, it's so easy to get consumed, distracted, you know, with lockdowns and public transportation, taking it, not taking it, testing again, new regulations and policies coming out every day. How do we not become consumed with all those things, right? But just as a reminder, today you're here with us at SCF Online, and we're reminding ourselves we are in the Lent season 2022, and we are making our way to the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. We don't need to forget that. We shouldn't forget that. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. We're going to celebrate that, lockdown or no lockdown, whatever the current policy will be at the time. We remember Christ and his power over the grave and his life in us today by the power of the Holy Spirit. So here we go. That's a good reminder. And let's stay focused with our hearts and all of our minds on him today. So we're going to start today. Again, this is the fourth week of the Lent season. And we've been in this series called Walking in the Spirit. And today's message is something called Something to Celebrate While You Wait. Something to Celebrate While You Wait. Now, like last week, if you were dialed in, tuned in last week, this is going to be another two-part sermon series, if you will. So obviously you're listening to part one. Part two, which will be the two, I'm going to cover three celebration points. And the second and the third celebration point, I will cover in part two of this sermon series. That is going to go directly, the second message in this two parts will go directly to our YouTube channel, Shanghai Community Fellowship. That's the name of our YouTube channel. Go to YouTube and you'll find the second part there. So today we're going to look at the first celebration point, which is the celebration of a new chapter. Now, you know, I love this image of a new chapter. A new chapter in life, right? A new chapter for our community, a new chapter for our church, a new chapter for our family, a new chapter for a nation, whatever. You know, this idea that we can roll into, we do roll into new chapters of our lives. And I like it because I think in many ways it captures what God is doing in the earth and from day one. And the story of the gospel is itself a story of a new chapter, of a new covenant, moving from a first covenant to a new covenant. And so that as a theme, it works so well, I think, when you're looking at the heart of God, especially as he's relating to us and to the world then and now. So I want to, in our time together, we're going to go back and take a look at what God was doing when he was bringing a new chapter to those ancient Israelites, when Joshua was their leader. I want to go back and take a look at them during a time when they were preparing on the eve of a new chapter in their lives, and make some parallels and draw some comparisons to what God is doing in our lives today, bring us also into a new chapter. So let's go back to Joshua. Joshua was number two next to Moses. And Moses is now off of the scene. He's led God's people, the Israelites, out of bondage and 400 years of slavery. And he's led them through the wilderness. I'll talk about that more in a moment. And now you've got Joshua, who is in this leadership role, and he's going to be bringing them into God's land of promise, the blessing that God had prepared for his people. And so that's where we pick the story up, Joshua 5, verses 9 to 12. I'm going to read that for us. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." So the place has been called today Gilgal to this day. on the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal, on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce from the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land, and there was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate from the produce of the land. Now, as I said, this is part of the story of this ancient people called the Israelites, and they're kind of forefathers to us. And you can read actually in detail this particular part of their story in the book of Exodus and the Old Testament or the older or first covenant. And you go back there and you see that this group of people are on the edge of a new chapter in their lives as a community, and for each of them, of course, individually. This is a people group that had once been a free people and had lived in this land of God's blessing and promise to them. But 400 years prior to this moment, Joshua 5, they had transitioned in another new chapter at the time into the nation of Egypt. And at the time, it saved them from famine. It probably saved them from extinction. But over those 400 years, that smaller refugee band of Israelites living in a foreign country, in the country of Egypt, they became an enslaved people. And for most of those 400 years, they lived as slaves to the Egyptians. And after those 400 years of slavery, God had decided to bring them out, and it was time to bring them into the land that he had promised them, back to where they started, back into that land. And of course, he uses Moses to do all of that. Those were incredible days where, as I said, they were in slavery. They were almost destroyed. But on one evening, one particular evening, having seen God and his power break apart and break that bondage of slavery over them, there was one particular evening, because on that evening, that would be the last demonstration of God's power that would send them out of bondage and out of slavery and into freedom. And on that night, God would tell them to celebrate with a very special meal. They were to come together as families, sit down together over a meal that God gave very specific instructions about. He told them how to prepare for that meal, what they would need. He told them what they would eat on that evening. And he told them how they would speak to one another. He would even tell them what to say. He would told them what they were going to eat. It wasn't just the meal itself that they would share, but the preparation of that meal was significant. The things that they would share with and share in would be significant. The whole evening would end up being a participation in the protection of God over their family, family by family, until the whole nation, until the whole tribe would be covered. So what I'm saying is that it wasn't just a sign of God's protection, or that God was going to bring them out of slavery. It was the actual participation in God's protection over them. And that special meal was called Passover. And it was, as I said, it was a part of the protection that God was giving them as God was breaking them forth out of bondage, out of darkness, and into their freedom. Now, as you know the story, I'm kind of skipping over and giving the highlights, actually, as you would probably know if you're familiar with the story. So God brings them out. It's a tremendous display of his faithfulness, miraculously brings them out of the country of Egypt, delivers them across borders through a sea that parts for them so that they can come across on dry ground, the whole thing. And God brings them to a place where there's another new chapter for them, where they're going to transition from being a tribe, a people group of slaves, into a nation of people with a national identity all around a covenant relationship that they were going to have with God. That he was going to give them a set of laws that they could live by. He was going to give them direction that they could live by. He was going to say to them, I am going to enter into a covenant with you as a people group, like a marriage covenant, so that we will be married together. You as Israelites, my people that I have chosen, and me as God, Yahweh, God of all gods, in a covenant relationship with each other. And when they secured that together, there was also another moment to sit down at that same meal called a Passover meal. They sat down together. They would again remember that God had protected them when they came out of slavery. And they would be reminded that going forward during this time in the wilderness, where we're out of what is familiar, even though what is familiar is slavery, we're out of what is familiar, we're in an in-between place called a wilderness, literally a wilderness, that even in this place, even in the in-between place, God is going to give his protection. And that meal that they shared together, the Passover meal, was a way for them to remember and for them to participate in the protection of God. Now, they're not in the wilderness very long, and they come up on the border of God's promised blessing. This is the land they had left 400 years earlier. Yes, granted that during those 400 years, other people had moved in, and there were other people living there. So coming into that blessing was not going to be easy. He's going to give it, and they're going to receive it. He's going to be with them, but there are going to be some challenges with that. And blessings from God, by the way, and some of you know what I'm talking about here, blessings from God can often be just like this. God is going to bless you. God has got something for you. God has got a promise that he intends to keep, that he has made to you. However, there are giants in the land. There's going to be some effort on your part and on my part. There's a battle that needs to be waged. We are in a spiritual battle. We are in a battle, and there's going to be a battle against giants that we're going to have to fight. There are going to be mountains that we're going to have to move. There is going to be the tilling and plowing of the soil, and there's going to have to be the planting of seeds before there's going to be the blessing of a harvest. And it's all coming together for them right there on the border of this land of promise that he's bringing them into another new chapter. And it looks like it's going to happen. It looks like it's going to come together. As the reader reading into their story, you're thinking, oh, I hope these people do this. God has got this prepared for them, and they can trust him, right? Just like we might say of ourselves, I can trust him, right? And again, in the story, having been through all of this, they say no. They say no. We don't want to fight. We don't want to fight for the blessing. We don't want to work for what is ours. And God, we don't believe you, and we don't trust you as our covenant partner, that you will be with us and that you will go before us. And that whole generation would remain in the wilderness. They never do enter into the life and the blessing and the promise of that land. And they remain a nomadic people just wandering around the desert for an entire generation until the children of that generation finally grow up and become adults. And then what happens? God is ready. God didn't give up. He said, I'm going to offer to you the same blessing that I offered to your parents. And it's going to have the same mountains. It's going to have this that need to be moved. It's going to have the same challenges, and the same giants are still there. But as I promised your parents, I promise you, I will be with you. I will go before you. Trust me, this is my blessing to you. This new chapter is my blessing to you. And these two generations just stand in contrast to each other. The older generation who had received this promise directly and first, they were uniquely prepared to go into that land of promise. They had been prepared for battle. They had been prepared to take over. God had been working with them all the way through, with Moses as their leader. God had been preparing them. That next generation, their sons and daughters that had grown up in the wilderness for the last 40 years, they were probably not as prepared, not at least in the same way that older generation had been prepared. And what we come to find out is maybe the biggest difference is that the parents, the older generation, while they might have physically entered into that covenant with God, in their hearts, they were far from him. yeah, they looked good on the outside, and yeah, they had a covenant with God, and yes, they signed up for it, but in their thinking, in their heart, in their spirit, inside, they were far from him, not willing to trust him at all. Now, their children, the next generation, might have been just the opposite of that. They were maybe not as physically prepared and not as familiar with the covenant that they had with God as their fathers had, their parents had, but, and maybe most importantly, in their hearts, they were ready to go. In their hearts, they were ready to obey. In their thinking and in their spirit, they were ready to say, God, give us direction. You lead, and we're going to follow you. Let's go into the new land. Let's go into the promise. We will go with you. And that's where they are in Joshua 5, on the edge of a new chapter with a new generation of men and women who have the same promise before them and the desire to follow as God would lead them. They just don't have some of the same opportunities to obey and follow and yield as their parents had. So here they are, Joshua 5, they're sitting down at a meal, same meal called Passover, same celebration of the protection of God, same participation in God's protection with the whole promise before them, with a brand new chapter to enter into. And yet there, as they prepare, there is an element of, this is a little bit scary. This is going to be challenging. The mountains are still there. The giants are still there. The enemies are still there. The obstacles and the challenges are still there. This is going to be one of those big transitions as they look at this new chapter that is only going to become more significant as the years go by. You know, I think we could probably relate to that. There have been chapters, new chapters, previously in our lives that we, when we went into them, maybe we, even at that time, had a sense that, wow, this new chapter in my life is pretty significant and maybe even a little bit scary. And it's only been as the years have gone by when you look back on it and say, wow, that was even more significant than what I realized. Wow, we made that move. We chose that university over that one. We chose that major to study and not that one. We decided to go for the PhD program and rather than taking that particular job or the other way around, we took the job instead of the PhD program whatever that chapter was. Many times looking back, we can see as we followed and walked in the Spirit, it became even more significant as the time went by. And that's how it was for these ancient Israelites. They're standing on the edge of a new chapter. They're eating their Passover meal, celebrating the protection of God as they had done and their parents had done before. And now it's their turn. They're learning something. They're learning something that God is going to protect them, even though things are changing even right now. Even right now. Right now, that for them, the manna that they've eaten all of their lives, every morning of their lives since they were little children, they've been eating this stuff called manna. Every morning they'd get up and be on the ground. It's like a seed-like substance, and their moms or dads would make bread from it. And now they find out it's not going to be like that anymore. And they find out that, well, we're going to start eating. Actually, where's our food going to come from? It's the manna's not coming every day. Well, they're going to start eating some of the produce and the food from the land that God is going to give them. Well, how's that going to happen? What's that going to look like? It's exciting. It's new, but there's still a lot of questions. How does that look like? And how is that going to happen? And is that going to happen? They're starting a new chapter. And like any new chapter, it can be a little scary. You know, when we're looking at new chapters in our lives, like them, we are also looking for the familiar. We are looking for opportunities to participate in God's protection. We're looking for what is familiar to us so that we can know that as God has been with us before, he will be with us now and as we move into this new chapter. That as God has been faithful, he will continue to be faithful, even though things are changing. Even right now, things are changing. God is with us, and we're looking for the familiar to take with us, the familiar ways that we have come to know our Father. We want to know that we're going to be protected as we move into more change, as things change all around us. We want to know, in this next chapter, we are asking, will something be asked of me? Will I need to change? Will I need to move some mountains? Will I need to face some giants? Will I need to sow seed in some new places? Will something be asked of me as we move into this new chapter? Now, of course, and let's take a pause, because even as they're sitting on the edge of entering into this new chapter, those ancient Israelites eating that Passover meal again, reminding themselves that they are participating in God's faithful protection, there is something that had to happen before they could celebrate. It turned out that they were not as ready as they thought they were, that there was something that had to be taken care of, something that was going to be absolutely essential to their well-being, something that was going to be essential to the celebration and the movement into a new chapter. In fact, there would be no sense in moving forward into this new chapter without this particular obedience. And that obedience was something called circumcision. Now, circumcision was a sign of the covenant agreement that they shared with God. And it was not something to be taken lightly or to ignore. You just can't say, well, I don't think we need to do that. It really doesn't matter. It's a small thing. Do it, don't do it, whatever. No, it was such an essential element. It was, yes, it was outward. Yes, it was something physical in a way that maybe like, and this may not be the best analogy, but maybe like I'm wearing a wedding ring, right? Now, if I take off my wedding ring, it doesn't mean I'm not married, right? But that ring on my finger, that physical symbol tells me and tells everyone else, I am in a covenant of marriage. Well, there was a symbol here that they share, the symbol of the physical act of circumcision that said they are in a covenant with God. And as it turns out, this next generation of sons, particularly, had not been circumcised. They did not have that covenant sign. Their parents did not do that for them. And what God was saying to Joshua was, hey, you're on the edge of a new chapter, and there is an obedience that you have not taken care of. Take care of it. And that's what they did. They took care of that. They took care of that in an act of obedience so that they might remain faithful to the covenant and move forward with God into that new chapter. Now, maybe at this point you might be thinking, and I would totally understand if you were, okay, well, Pastor Dale, this is a great story about the ancient Israelites and the people group, kind of our ancestors too, as Christians. I get some of that going into a new chapter thing. But how does this actually apply to me? What would this look like for me? Is maybe I'm facing a new chapter in my life. Can I tell you that walking in the Spirit, we will continue to be led then by the Spirit into the new chapters of our lives, into new chapters, and then out of those chapters, and then into another new chapter of our life. We'll do that time and time again, but not just in our own flesh, to use a biblical phrase, but being led by the Spirit into each new chapter of our lives. Everyone's going to have multiple chapters in their story, the story of their life, Christians or not. But Christians are being led into those new chapters as God sovereignly moves them from chapter to chapter. You know, one of the things about being slightly older is that you have a little more data to work with. So, and what I'm saying is that Becky and I have had the experience of being led into more than one chapter over the years and walking in the Spirit. And like the next generation of Israelites, that we're in a covenant relationship. We are in a covenant relationship with Jesus. And that covenant relationship, or that covenant itself with Jesus, was itself a new chapter that Jesus was bringing. And that new covenant that we have entered into, which itself was a new chapter, also carries with it the necessity of obedience. It's a covenant relationship that we share. And in that covenant relationship, we respond to one another by obeying and following one another, particularly us following Jesus and obeying what he has to say to us. Now maybe you might be thinking, you just said the word obey. And I don't really like that word that much. You might be thinking, you know, when I hear obey, I think of somebody's pet, you know, like a puppy or a little kitten, you know, or maybe I think of an immature child that needs to obey. And I don't see myself really as a kitten or a puppy or an immature child. I'm uncomfortable with the whole idea of obey. Maybe you prefer positively responding to the Lord, direction of the Lord. Obedience is just another way to say that God is giving us direction according to the covenant that we have received from him. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are in a covenant relationship with them. And that covenant relationship brings direction from Jesus that he's asking us to follow and to take and receive and, yes, obey. Maybe you prefer the phrase respond affirmatively. Either way, it makes me think of something that Paul wrote about Jesus when Jesus said, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Jesus said, he mentions the word covenant. Did you see that in verse number 25? This cup is the new covenant. This is the new chapter, and it's a chapter that looks like and is a covenant. And when we are in covenant with Jesus, we are covenanting with him to obey him, to follow him, to receive his direction and respond affirmatively. Maybe that sounds better to you rather than obey. It's like marriage. Again, all analogies tend to break down, but it's like marriage. You know, Becky and I are in a covenant of marriage. And when Becky asks me to do something and I obey, it's not because I'm afraid of her, or if I ask her to do something and she listens to me and obeys, or I listen to her and obey. It's not because we're motivated by fear. It's not because we don't feel like we're being put down. We don't feel like, you know, hey, who do you think you are asking me to do this and giving me some kind of direction? Who, you know, what, blah, blah, blah. You know, now, maybe I felt a little bit like that, or might have even said that when I was, we were newly married, but that was a long time ago and things were a little bumpier back then. No, it's not like that at all. When we ask things of each other, when we have expectations of each other, when we give each other direction, it is because we trust each other. We obey and we respond affirmatively to each other because we love each other and we trust each other. When Becky asks me to do something, she gives me direction and I take that direction and obey. It's because I love her and I trust her. And the same goes for me. And I love and I trust the covenant that we share together. I obey, I respond affirmatively to the direction that I'm receiving because I love and trust the covenant that we share together. And I know that when I go well and when I go well with Jesus, our covenant works better. When I hear Becky and respond, when she hears me and responds, and we respond to each other, taking direction from each other, our covenant goes better. It works well, and when it works well, when the covenant works well as it should, it works well for both of us. It says, it says that the reproach was removed, and it was removed, however, when they obeyed. God removed it. It's one of those times where God's working and we're working. God removes the reproach of Egypt, but he removes the reproach of Egypt when the people obey to the demands of the covenant. The reproach, the bruise in the covenant is removed when they obey. These are two different covenants, but the same obedience that we have today. I think of something that Jesus said. He said a lot of things about the covenant that we have with him. But this one particular thing came to my mind right away. I think of something he said about leaving our gift at the altar. Jesus said in Matthew 5, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, brother or sister in Christ, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come after your gift." The covenant with Jesus requires that if I've come to worship, if I've come to leave my gift at the altar, and I remember that I have a brother or sister also in Christ who has an offense against me, then I need to leave my gift at the altar and go and deal and resolve that offense that has been brought against me by my brother or sister. It's a way that Jesus, another way among many, that Jesus gives direction within his covenant for those of us who will be in covenant with Jesus. We will obey. Another place where Jesus says something really clear, and we need to hear this, because this obedience to the covenant, just as it was significant and essential to the celebration of a new chapter for them, so it will be essential to the celebration of a new chapter for us. Our obedience is essential. Jesus said it this way, and this one very important issue. For if you, Matthew 6, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do," listen to this, "but if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." See, what am I saying? I'm saying that just as those ancient Israelites sat on the edge of a new chapter, ready to celebrate. Yeah, I know it's going to be a lot of work. I know there are mountains we're going to have to move. Yes, I know there's plowing to take care of. It's not just a walk in the park, as they say. There's something that will be demanded of us as we move into this chapter. But I don't know. I just feel like celebrating. I'm excited, and I feel the blessing of the Lord on me because he's bringing me in to this new chapter. Oh, but wait a minute. Whoa, that's right. There's an element of obedience that we have overlooked. On the edge of a new chapter, there is an element of obedience that we have overlooked. We can't celebrate, we can't move into this new chapter until we have taken care of that element of obedience. As it was then, so it is now for us. Is there an obedience that you have overlooked, that I have overlooked, that we need to take care of now, perhaps as a brother or sister who has an offense against us that we need to go and resolve? Perhaps there is someone that I need to forgive, or that you need to forgive, to release them with your forgiveness. You know, I want to come back as we begin to wrap things up. I want to come back to this meal called Passover. Because for them, at that Passover, on the edge of a new chapter, they could see even that night that things were already beginning to change. There wasn't going to be any more manna. 40 years, it's the same way every day. I've been married for 40 years, so I got a sense of how long 40 years is, and that's a long time. And it's been the same way for 40 years. Now, we can see that that's coming to an end, and there'll be new food in its place. From our new place, from our new home. And this is for all of you foodies out there. It's going to be abundant. It's going to taste good. And it's going to be stable. It's just going to come, and it's going to come again. Harvest after harvest after harvest. New food is something that we can look forward to. And there's a new attitude on that night as they sit down at Passover meal together. A new attitude, a new desire to obey, a new desire to take direction from Yahweh and show him that we will follow as he leads. A new desire to love him with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, and to love others as well. This is a hopeful Passover. This is a hopeful Passover season. This meal is a celebration which will connect them with the protection. This meal will be a participation once again in the protection that God has brought to them. The same protection they received in Egypt, the same protection that they received at Sinai, is the same protection they are participating in even today. Many, many years later, Jesus would sit down with his friends to eat this very same meal, the Passover meal. We can read about it in John chapter 13. They were also on the edge of a new chapter for all of them, for Jesus, and for all those who were with him that night, all those who knew him and loved him. This time, however, Jesus is saying, yes, like Joshua, there'll be new food. There'll be new food, but it'll be different than what you've imagined. There'll be new food to eat. There'll be new bread to eat. And that bread is the bread of life. And he would tell them, I am the bread of life. He told them that there would be new wine to drink. And then he would tell them that I am that new wine. And that Jesus was establishing a new chapter in him, a new covenant in him. Today, as we stand on the edge of a new chapter, many of us, even today, are looking into what to us seems like certainly this is a new chapter for us. Already, even now, you are aware that things are changing, and it's a little scary. We wonder, will this covenant that we have with Jesus, will it hold up as things change, as the ground shifts, as we walk into promise and blessing, but promises and blessings that still have mountains to move, still have giants to defeat, still have ground that needs to be plowed up before there's a harvest. Will the covenant hold up tonight on the edge of this new chapter? Will I hold up? Will I hold up in this new chapter? Will I be held as we move in on this night into this new chapter? And the answer to those questions, because God is faithful, because our covenant partner is strong, and because even now we participate in his protection, the answer is yes. The covenant will hold. You will be well, and you will be held in the palm, the center of his hand. Let's pray. So, Father, I do pray. I thank you, Lord, for your blessing of love and faithfulness over us. You are a faithful covenant partner. You are the faithful one, and we are in covenant with you. And for many of us, even today, we look at these new chapters. If not now, then they're coming. Another new chapter will come. And as we stand on the edge tonight, on this day of a new chapter, Father, we pray, let our hearts be encouraged. And if there is a covenant obedience that we are missing, that we have neglected, that we have set aside, that is now coming to us by your Spirit, reminding us that there's something we needed to do, that there was some direction from our covenant partner, Jesus, that he's given us that we yet need to respond to, that we will, by faith, with courage, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, respond to what Jesus, our covenant partner, is leading us to do. Let's take care of it. Let's resolve it. Let's do what the Lord has asked us to do so that we might celebrate the new chapter that is before us and give thanks to God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.